Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com. And by Tourism Ireland. Discover world-class links and breathtaking landscapes. Experience golf where it all began. Plan your dream trip to Ireland today at ireland.com/golf. And by Aer Lingus, the Irish flag carrier. Renowned for its warm Irish hospitality and exceptional service, Aer Lingus flies to Ireland from 19 gateways across North America. For more information and to secure a great fare, visit aerlingus.com. I am at the David Cone Celebrity Charity Golf Classic, benefiting the Ed Lucas Foundation, and David is my guest.
Finally, all these years we've known each other, and I've seen you at all these events over the years, and I'm happy to come on.
And of course, I've covered your baseball career years ago, and now you are the baseball analyst for ESPN Sunday Night and for YES Network, and I want to talk golf with you because baseball players make pretty good golfers, some very, very good golfers. How about you? How would you describe your game?
I'm a left-handed swinger, and I didn't pick up the game till I retired for baseball. So it's been a challenge, but I love it. Got the bug. Broke 80 a couple of times, kind of reached that goal of breaking 80, and then I've fallen back a little bit. I had a hip replacement surgery, but I'm back into it again, and I just love it.
What's your handicap these days?
I'm probably around a 12.
Okay.
Not too bad. You know, I mean, I'm mid-80s. I used to shoot in the mid-80s, so.
That's pretty good. And you live in Florida, and obviously during baseball season, you're very, very busy. But can you play mostly in the wintertime?
I can. Yeah, you know, I live on a course down in Florida in the Boca region, and it's great. You know, I live on this in a community where Bernhard Langer lives.
Oh, I love Bernhard.
And he's been great. I meet him on the range, just watching him, the way he swings, it's just amazing. So, I'm more at the range now, you know, working on my game than I am actually playing.
Has Bernhard given you any tips? Because that guy is just amazing.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's very generous with everything, and tempo and rhythm and his repeatable swing. Just he's automatic.
Can you imagine for his age? He's what? He has to be, what, mid-60s now, and he's just he goes out there and thinks win, win, win all the time on this senior tour.
He's in fantastic shape. You know, he keeps himself in amazing shape, even through some of the injuries he's had. You know, Achilles injury that he had, you know, over the last couple of years, but he bounced right back, and he looks as good as ever.
Now, rumor has it that he got that Achilles injury on the pickleball court, but anyway, he's definitely bounced back from that. Now, David, I know you batted lefty, right, and threw righty. So years ago, when Yogi Berra was still around, he hit his tee shots righty and putt lefty. And we were doing a TV show, and I said, Yogi, I didn't know you're ambidextrous on the golf course. And he said, I'm not, Ann, I'm amphibious.
Yeah, that's Yogi. I believe that 100%. You know, I work with a guy named Jim Cott, too. Kitty was a great broadcaster, a great pitcher, and he played right and left-handed, and he could shoot his age both ways. I've never met anybody like him, but he could. When he was in his 70s, he could shoot in his 70s both right and left-handed.
So do you do most things lefty?
No, I'm a natural righty. My father made me a left-handed batter in baseball when I was a kid. He thought I was going to be the next Ted Williams, so he wanted me to pattern myself and my swing after Ted Williams, the great Ted Williams. So that just stuck. And when I went to pick up golf, it just seemed more natural to swing left-handed, to continue left-handed.
Interesting, because, you know, it's harder to get left-handed equipment. I mean, you can get it now more readily than maybe, you know, 20 years ago. But who taught you how to play golf?
Pretty much self-taught. You know, I started reading every book I could find. You know, Ben Hogan's book, watching videos, even Bobby Jones. I go back, you know, to the old days, right to the beginning. And then, you know, just anybody I could see, the Golf Channel, some of your interviews over the years, just listening and watching is amazing. I became addicted to the Golf Channel, obviously, and so many different coaches that you listen. Sometimes you get too many ideas going on in your head, right, with too many different theories. But, you know, it's just kind of self-taught.
So what do you bring from baseball, from pitching, to golf, would you say?
You know, to me, I think it's a sense of creativity, you know, and a sense also of working yourself out of trouble. you know, in baseball on the mound, off you get yourself in trouble. The base is loaded. It's like hitting the ball in the woods, and you got to go find it and chip it out and try to save score and save par if you can. For me, it's mostly bogey. If I can play bogey golf, I'm happy. But I think it's that sense of never giving up, never getting too down, no matter how bad it's going, because golf is the most frustrating game, as you know, and can be. And if you let it get to you, and if you don't, if you just take what comes your way, and you have that mentality, then you can still have fun. You go, hey, let me create a shot here. Let me be creative and have some vision here. And it's the same as kind of pitching.
So you see more of a mental comparison, right, then, from pitching to golf?
Absolutely, definitely more mental. You know, golf can get in your head, obviously. But also there's the physical nature of golf, and the rhythm and the timing and the tempo is very similar to a pitching motion, to the windup of a pitcher. It's kind of the same sort of a thing. What I used to say is the ball flight doesn't lie. So whenever I'd throw a pitch, I knew exactly what I did wrong by how the ball flew. And it's the same thing in golf. You know exactly what you did wrong. You know, by if you slice it or if you hook it, if your arms are out in front of your body or your lower half or the same vice versa, you know, there is a key because the ball flight never lies.
If you're having a bad night on the mound or, you know, a couple bad pitches, you know, in golf, you're only as good as your last shot, right? It's probably the same on the mound. What would you tell yourself when you're on the mound in a baseball game if you knew you could do much better?
Yeah, to me, it was more about just making quick adjustments, staying in the moment. You know, if you get too far ahead of yourself or you're too much, if you get distracted, really, I think distractions kill performance. So if you can just stay in the present, stay in the moment and say, okay, what's the adjustment that needs to be made? How quickly could I make the adjustment? I know what I'm doing wrong, you know, because, you know, I've gone through my checklist and I know exactly where I need to be and what I need to do to get back there. So that's the main focus. You simplify and just get into the moment and just make the quick adjustment as quickly as you can.
Well, you hear golfers saying all the time, just stay in the present. That is so hard to do, to forget that last bad shot and only think of the next shot. So you have good training from baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same thing. Amnesia is a good thing, right? Forget about what just happened, because after the match or after the game, there's plenty of time to beat yourself up. There's plenty of time to go back and really kind of go over every little thing that went wrong. So, but in the moment, it's so counterproductive. It's nothing but a distraction. And sometimes it takes a while. It's not easy. You just need to step back and just gain your perspective again and train yourself mentally to kind of trick your mind into thinking that way. And it's hard to do. You're right. Very difficult to do.
So many similarities. I love talking about the mental aspect of sports, and there are a lot of similarities between pitching and golf. So tell me, who do you follow on the PGA Tour? Who are some of your favorite players?
Well, obviously some of the new guys are amazing. You know, I'll date myself because, you know, I'm a lefty, and I always love to watch Phil Mickelson or Mike Weir, you know, all the lefties, Harmon the lefty, Brian Harmon's great. Anybody that's lefty, I'm kind of prone to, because I know, you know, we've been discriminated upon over the years. So there's a little chip on your shoulder if you're a left-handed golfer, and I thrive with that. So, you know, obviously all the lefties, but Scottie Scheffler's amazing. How could you not appreciate what he's doing? Rory is just so fun to watch. They're so powerful. There's so many similarities in baseball, too. There's so much power in baseball now. Power pitching, power hitting. It's the same in golf. You know, they hit the ball so far, and it's changed the game. Changed the nature of golf courses and how you design golf courses nowadays.
Do you know how Phil became a lefty in golf? He would watch his dad practice in the mirror when he was a toddler. He watched his dad swing in the mirror, and that's what it came naturally to him to be lefty.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story. And I know he's a baseball fan and a pitcher, too. You know, he actually has thrown batting practice before. I know I've heard stories about him wanting to be a pitcher, so that kind of endeared him to me even more. So, it's an amazing story how kids learn. You know, and things that almost just by watching, you know, visually learning is more important sometimes than anything else.
Did your parents play golf? Did your dad play? What's your history in the sport?
He did pick it up later in life, you know, like me. But we weren't exposed to it at a young age. You know, that was the big three sports. It was football, basketball, and baseball, and that was all we had time for. As I sort of gotten into baseball and then towards the end of my career, I realized what I was missing and how fun it was. And now I regret it because I'm playing catch-up. All those years I could have played when I was active as a baseball player and all the courses I could have gotten on. You know, I hear stories of John Smoltz and Greg Maddux that get on Augusta when they were during their careers, and I'm like, what did I miss here? I'm such a fool. So for the rest of my life, I'm going to be playing catch-up.
So many pitchers would tell me they bring their clubs with them when they traveled because you could play on your off days.
Yes.
You didn't do that.
I didn't do that. You know, and as you know, Ann, I mean, golf is a game that you have to play reasonably well to enjoy. You can't just show up at Augusta and never have played the game before. So it's just not going to work that way. And so you have to take the time, and you have to have perseverance, you know, and get the golf bug and say, I'm going to learn this game, and I'm going to do what I have to do to get good enough to enjoy the game. And that, to me, that was the demarcation point where I now can play anywhere in the world on any golf course, even though I may shoot 94 or 92. I know how to keep moving. I know how to put the ball in my pocket. I know how not to slow anybody down. I know how to play the game. And to me, that's the most important thing that you learn as somebody trying to pick up the game.
Talk to any other pitchers about golf, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz. Roger Clemens is a really good golfer. He plays in a lot of these celebrity tournaments.
All the time. There's always a tip. There's always somebody that has a coach that says do this or do that. So, absolutely. We're always talking about golf. We're talking about equipment. Because boys love our toys, and you know, and so there's a new putter out there, or there's a new driver, or there's a new set of irons, and the technology that comes into play with that, and you got to have this, you got to try that, it'll help your game. So yeah, we're obsessed.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to ask you about Keegan Bradley. Ryder Cup's coming up. I know you're going to be knee-deep in baseball season, end of September, but there's a chance that, you know, he may want to pick himself as a captain's pick. I don't know if he'll qualify on points. The top six get in on points, and then it's up to the captain, Keegan, to pick the other six. What do you think? Do you think if he's playing well enough heading into that time of year, which is coming up very soon, should he play? Should he pick himself to be captain and player?
Well, that's really, you know, inside the ropes kind of stuff there. So I don't really feel qualified, you know, to give a really, you know, definitive opinion. But I would say, you better be good. You better not be marginal, you know, and say, yeah, okay, am I kind of close enough on the edge and then I'll play? You know, if you're Tiger Woods in his prime, then I'll, of course. But it's very hard to manage a team and to coach and all that goes into it and also have the focus to be a player. So that's very difficult. You know, I would, at first blush, I would kind of frown on that, to tell you the truth. But as I said, that's inside the ropes kind of golf thinking, and they know things I don't know, but I would say no.
Would you ever consider managing in the game, baseball?
I kind of like what I'm doing. You know, I'm smart enough to know that that's a hard job and sometimes a thankless job. Certainly there's a shelf life to that job too as well. So you never say never, but you know, I think that those days have passed me by.
Well, this event is incredible, the David Cohn Celebrity Charity Golf Classic, raising money for Ed Lucas Foundation. Bless his heart, I loved Ed Lucas, I really did. Allison does such a great job. I've been coming to this, David, for so long. I hate to even tell you because it will date me for sure, but Phil Rizzuto hosted it, and I was here when he hosted this, and then Gene Michael, and then you. So talk a little bit about the history of this incredible golf charity golf tournament.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. You know, I feel so lucky because I knew all of those guys. I knew Phil Rizzuto. He announced the games that I pitched. I went to this golf tournament too. I've seen you here many times, and when I was just a celebrity playing in this tournament. So, and I saw Gene Michael and what he did to carry on the torch and for Ed Lucas and Allison. So I know the tradition of this tournament. And then when Gene came to me and said, I need some help, can you help me take this over? And Gene wasn't feeling well at the time, and he passed shortly thereafter. So, you know, I felt a real kindred spirit to kind of, you know, this, somebody's got to carry the torch here. And this tournament runs itself. The people behind the scenes do such a wonderful job. And now we have Jersey Mike's as a sponsor, and the sponsorship's really picked up. So it's at an all-time high right now in terms of the participation, and it's all because of the people behind the scenes. The small part for me is just my name. Sure, you can use my name, but you know, they do all the work behind the scenes.
Talk about your day. How'd you play out there today, and some of the other celebrities who've been here?
Yeah, it's It's so good. Roger Clemens, El Duque, Orlando Hernandez is here. The list goes on and on. My teammates. The thing that's good about this, too, it's not just baseball players. It's football players. There's basketball players here. John Starks is here. There's musicians. There's comedians. There's boxers. I mean, throughout the years, there's all walks of life that have come to this tournament and have supported Ed Lucas and Allison. So it's pretty amazing to be a part of it.
Last question. Your favorite foursome, who would it be? If you could play with anybody on the planet, who would your other three partners be?
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd pick Phil, you know, because I'm a lefty and I'm biased. You know, I would pick Babe Ruth if I could. If you can go back in time, I'd get Babe Ruth in there because he's so fun. I mean, you know, you would have some fun if you're hanging with Babe. I would pick probably... You know, maybe Bill Clinton, you know, just because, you know, he would be fun and have some great stories, too, as well. And I would probably pick, you know, somebody from like Michael Jordan, maybe, to pick him as well. I'd want a diverse group of people that would have different stories to tell from different walks of life and also be fun-loving.
I can't let you go until you tell me your most memorable baseball. Five-time World Series champion, five-time All-Star, played for so many teams, Yankees and Mets. Favorite all-time baseball memory?
You know, when we won our first championship with the Yankees in 96, that ticker tape parade coming up the Canyon of Heroes is amazing. There was millions of people as you ride up on a float, right up. The center of Manhattan, the Canyon of Heroes, as they say. And when you look to the right, there's walls of people every side street you get. And when you look to the left, there's walls of people, and you can't believe there's that many people. And there's confetti raining down on your head. And then I look up above me, and there's Joe DiMaggio and Yogi Berra in a convertible Thunderbird leading the parade. And it just hit me that this is just a once-in-a-lifetime sort of a moment that not too many people get to experience.
David Cohn, continued success, and love this journey, love what you're doing on and off the golf course, so keep it up.
Thank you, Ann. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks so much.